everyone. This is Michelle Johnson with Switchback with another podcast from The Trail Life, a special edition brought to you by Switchback. This time I am talking with Cody, Taylor, and Alan from Death March Running Company. They are based out of Colorado. These guys are so funny and so awesome. We had such a fun time chatting in this podcast. We talked about so many things. I can't really sit here and say we talked about just one specific thing in general. We did obviously talk about their company and what they're doing, and it kind of went into them asking me questions. So we have a lot of back and forth, some fun conversation, and I think you'll really, really enjoy this podcast. Looking forward to maybe them coming out at some point to San Diego. Maybe they'll come out to one of the Endurance Race Series races. Maybe we'll do a pop-up at Switchback. Who knows? But listen in. It's a lot of fun. Can't wait for you all to hear this.
Well, help me turn the turning. Well, help me get it right.
I'm now addicted to matchas, which is a whole other story.
Oh, matcha's good though.
It is, but it has caffeine, but I've convinced myself it doesn't because it's tea.
Doesn't green tea have way more caffeine than a cup of coffee though?
I don't know, but I tell myself it's tea, it's fine. Oh, and of course good. I'm hooked on. Oh, and here's the other issue is the store. I'm in a shared space with a coffee shop. I don't know if
so you're
like
just
from the
smelling it all day.
And today I went up to order my matcha because they have matchas and they're like, we don't have matcha. And I almost just had a glitch in my brain. I didn't know what to do because there was no matcha.
I'll have a hot chocolate. Thank you.
And I'm like, when are you going to have matcha again? Are you going to have matcha tomorrow? And she's, oh, we have matcha. We lost our whisker. And I'm like, can you find something else?
I don't care. Two shots.
Just do the thing.
I don't understand. And I'm like, when are you getting a whisker? And she's like, I don't know. And I'm like, okay. So before we talk too much, I want to use some of this content for the actual podcast, right? So I'm just going to introduce you all real quick. Sweet. This is Cody, Taylor, and Alan from Death March Running Company. Hey, guys. Welcome to the Trail Life podcast.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Yeah. So,
give us a little story. You're stepping in and hosting now in lieu of Jeff. You sent him packing on vacation. Tell me what's
going Jeff.
On.
Bye, Jeff. See ya. Yeah, no. Perfect. Yeah. Jeff has so much. He's so busy, I'm sure. And he just needed a little break to work on some other projects and reached out to me. I've never hosted a podcast. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm like, it's just talking, right? So he was like, yeah, let's do a few, see how it goes, see where it goes from there. When I agreed to this, I hadn't opened the shop yet. And so when I opened the shop, I was like, wow, when am I going to have time to do this podcast? But yeah, so I've done a couple so far and I guess they're going okay.
What's been your favorite part so far?
I genuinely do just like talking to people.
Explains why you have a shop.
So it's great with the podcast because I get to pick who I'm going to talk to.
That's awesome.
And I've had some really awesome people on and I'm super stoked to talk to you guys.
Thanks. We could talk about how we got introduced.
We're wearing the same shirt. Sorry.
We are wearing the same shirt.
That's very cute twinsies.
Hey, we talked offline.
Yeah.
No, we first and foremost, like you obviously have an awesome brand. Switchback is so cool. You guys make a really nice product. And when we started this, there were a handful of things that we knew that we wanted to create outside is just t-shirts, things that runners could actually use. And one of the top things on the list, and we started this in the dead of winter, was like a neck gaiter, a buff. And so then it was like, all right, who do we talk to? Who do we look at manufacturing with? And thankfully, I had seen that you had partnered with Jeff. I didn't know that you were a sponsor of the series at first. I had seen your brand at some events that, and Jeff and I have go back years, but that's how I was like, oh man, I should reach out and see if this is a possibility, and shot an email. And as they say, the rest is history. And it was amazing working with you ladies. People that don't know, and I think everybody listening probably does, women-owned brand that you started is super cool. And we did a Pain Cave neck gaiter with you that absolutely crushes it.
It's beautiful. So cool.
It's nice to wear. Like I love it. The feedback from everybody's been great. That's how we got introduced.
And yeah. Just a shout out to Michelle. The one thing I was really impressed with being like in the manufacturing world and having like product quality interest, like insight into things, was we're not quite happy with the first printing. Yeah. Yep. So sorry, it's going to take some time, but we want to get it right. And that was something, shout out to you and your partners on that, making sure that it was representative of the quality that you wanted to put out there, not just putting it out for the sake of getting product out there. And we talked about it behind the scenes, and but wanted to compliment you on that. That was a very positive thing for us as both small business owners to know we're aligned in that regard.
I appreciate that a lot. Thank you. Yeah, obviously as a business owner, I don't want to send out a product that I wouldn't be happy with. I'm happy that you all were happy with the end product.
Yeah, they're killer. They really are beautiful. So
thank you.
Yeah.
If y'all didn't know, I hand sew every single one of those myself.
No way.
Yes.
Do you?
Seriously? Have to be yanking our chain on that one. Come on now.
I literally have my sewing machine behind me here.
No.
So I hand cut every single one to a specific size, sew it with the sewing machine, and hand stitch every single end of them, and put the patch on myself.
All right. So
you're proper ultra athlete. Pain Cave one's perfect then, because it was a pain cave getting them out of there. Holy hell, that's amazing. No, I had no idea, and I think Alan is equally as surprised.
Yeah, that's what happens right here. Oh yeah,
incredible. Excellent. That's awesome.
The full part of the story to know. And so how did you, sorry, I feel like I'm asking you a bunch of questions.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, this isn't about me.
Cody's hosting. Cody is the Trail Life podcast. Sorry.
No, I'm curious on how you got partnered with Jeff and Endurance Race Series and how that partnership grew. Sorry, not to.
Yeah. So ever since I got into trail running, I've really been involved with our trail running and running community. Even before Switchback, I just love being out there, supporting our community. And so I known Jeff from being at his races and racing, and just through our San Diego trail running community. We're pretty tight knit. We have a great running community out here. And once Switchback launched, he just reached out to me and was like, do you want to sponsor? What can we do? And also him in an effort to help propel me into gaining more eyes on the brand. And it's just been a really great partnership. Jeff, he's so awesome and so supportive. And yeah, he's been amazing and just trying, just helping each other out where we can. And that's how it is out here, I think. And it's really cool in that way.
That's awesome. How long have you been partner or sponsor of the series?
Some point last year, I think, because Switchback just started February of last year.
Yeah.
I want to say we started once he started his race series here in San Diego from last year is when we started with that.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. Yeah.
I know we were talking offline a little bit that we've got to get out one to, now that we're officially sponsors as well of the Endurance Race Series, which shout out to them, we're super pumped for, but get out to some of those races. And if we do, we have to come over to the shop, possibly do a pop-up.
People here would be stoked. I'm telling you. I've already been throwing it out there. Hey everyone, we need to get Death March here. And people are like, yeah. So I'm telling you. We should make it happen. People would love it.
Yeah, we've been talking about it behind the scenes and I assume when Cody said behind the scenes, you and him, but we've also been talking about behind the scenes on our part. So one of the things Cody was talking about is we have the like beer miles. It's turning into a series of artwork on our side and Cody's team Speedland, which he's not shy about sharing, but I'm doing it for him this time. But he's been wanting to make a beer bong with a Speedland shoe with just like Death March stickers down the whole pipe, which I'd have spent a good amount of time in San Diego, like with the CrossFit community, a little bit of running, all kinds of stuff. And people like to play hard and live hard and do all the things. So I think it fit really well on the brand side of things. Is
definitely.
I will chug any beer that you throw my way out of epic Speedland shoes. And don't say I'm lying. Not any beer. If it's an IPA, I won't touch it. It's got to be fruity and sweet. Yes. But hey, you know what? An IPA might taste good out of the Speedlands. That's how great of a shoe they are. Oh.
And the Speedland DMRC like collab on the beer bong, which cheers. All miles are beer miles.
All miles are beer miles. I don't know that their marketing team would get behind that, but I like where your head's at.
No, that would be, it would be really awesome for you guys to come out. I definitely need to get out there. Like I said, a good friend of mine lives out in Colorado and she's been just bugging me. She lived in San Diego, moved back to Colorado recently. And she's just been like, yeah, you got to get out here. And the elevation's going to kill me. Every time we've gone out just to like visit friends, like 3 miles in, and I'm just like, why am I dying right now? So you guys will come out here and be like, oh, this is a breeze. But
anytime you want to come out, we'd love to hang out and get out on some trails, just shoot the shit, whatever. That'd be a blast.
When some of the ERS races are happening and maybe set something up to come out around one of those races and... That'd be awesome.
I know there's a couple of those 24 hours and like ultra events that he's doing. That could be.
Yeah. South Bay 24 hours, August 18th, August something like that.
Cody, that'd be good recovery for Hilo for you.
Would be good recovery from Hilo and good prep for
Run Rabbit. Yeah.
We could.
Perfect. All get done.
Look it.
Okay. How did you all, or there's three of you, so I guess we'll have to, each of you respond, but you get into running and then like, how did it evolve into the crazy stuff you're doing now?
I think Alan needs to lead us out on this one.
Yeah, agreed.
Blame Cody. It's all his fault. And he hasn't apologized.
Ever will.
I got into it because Cody and I were playing racquetball back in the day and we couldn't get on the racquetball court one day, so we went for breakfast until we got on the court. And I had been doing some running and getting into shape, and he's like, there's a race in June. This was like January. There's a race in June, we should do it. It's a 50 miler. And keep in mind, at this point, the longest I had ever ran, never in a race, was on a treadmill for maybe 5-6 miles. And he's, oh, we'll just do this 50 miler. And I was like, that seems like a lot. And he's like, no, we'll just, because I told him, I'm not sure if I can run 50 miles. And he's, oh no, we'll just walk the uphills, walk the downhills and run the level parts. Okay. Pretty good salesman. And so I was like,
said a true ultra runner.
Yeah. We're just going to ease into it. Just take it easy. A nice long day on the trail. It comes down, like I keep training off and on. Didn't really know how serious to take this with all this walking the level parts. And we get a couple weeks before and he's, are you ready for this? And I was like, not really. So we did it.
When was this? How long ago was this?
14, yeah.
Oh, okay. 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's wild. But to Alan's credit, he towed the line and showed up and we did it. And it was, the rest is history, as they say. It's been a wild ride since. And Alan and I and Taylor as well. But originally, early on, Alan was my ride or die run partner, still is my ride or die run partner. And
he's too fast. He's got to slow down to be with us a little bit more.
No, Taylor's the fast one. Not
That's
me.
What I'm saying. Taylor's too fast. We're like keep up with him.
I know we're the golden hour finishers. We enjoy that sweet spot. Taylor wants to be on the podium, which blows my mind.
My mind says that the body's not cooperating. But that said, the benefit of it is when you guys need pacer, who is ready for a suffer fest? So you can't complain that much.
That's true. You are always ready. I'd say the three of us, if anybody called me, if either of the two of you ever called me for any race, I would be there, hands down. Yeah.
Go flirt with some friends.
Yeah. That's become my new thing. I had to drop out of all my races this year, which has really bummed me out just because of the store opening and work and stuff. I'm still clinging on to hope for Javelina, but we'll see.
Are you in the field for Javelina already? Or are you on the wait list?
I'm on the wait list, but I'm like number 25. So I'm getting in.
You'll be in.
Yeah. But my new thing is just pacing my friends. Cause I'm like, at least I'm out there and I feel like I'm still a part of the race in a way. And
I would say it is more rewarding than the race itself, like for the runner itself. Like Cody, I've known Cody, we're getting close to 15 years at this point. And the Cody that I've known forever is happy-go-lucky, excitable, wants to get everyone involved, do cool shit. Like the MRC is a representation of that and super excitable. He like got me to play hockey when I've had ice skates on 5 times. And I paced him, I would say, during his first low point of high low and saw a side of him that I'd never seen. And we got through it, got him to Allen. Allen took him. We got to morning. And when we got to that point, it was like a finish is the only option. But it's so rewarding being the pacer crew assistant in a very giving, loving aspect of the sport. That's something Cody has been very vocal, and I'm sure you've seen a lot of our crew stuff that we've been promoting and trying to do a lot of it. But like my running partner outside of Cody and Alan, like he doesn't want to race and he's, I will pace you until you die. And the reason for it is you're so like invested on a daily basis in the training, the preparation, the mental state getting into it. And so getting them being the runner you're supporting is as rewarding as the finish for the runner themselves. Like,
oh, 100%.
You're so committed.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I have a friend that I've paced once, and then a couple of us, other of my friends have paced him a couple times for a couple hundred milers. And then he and I ended up pacing someone else for SD 100 last year, and he hadn't paced before. And he was just like, I had no idea what I was asking you guys to do. Like he hadn't been on that side yet. And he was just like, wow, like I appreciated it, but thank you.
Because yeah, you don't realize what psychopaths or runners are.
Crewing isn't easy.
He's like, you put up with a lot.
There's magic and there's memories in the misery. And when you can share that, it makes it all that much greater when you get to just be miserable together.
100%.
Sign up for more.
Yeah. Yep. It's the cycle. Yeah.
So miserable, you do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one thing that we, with starting this, with the three of us just talking about and brainstorming and coming up with the ideas around what Death March stands for. And as much as it is celebrating what you do, what you go through and what you put into going to these races and towing the line and maybe DNFing, hopefully finishing, the side of it that we're talking about now is one that's not celebrated near enough as well. And that's the crew and the pacers. And that's where we really try to push that. It's just, they give so much. And to your guys' point is if you haven't been a part of a crew, or if you haven't paced a runner, you don't quite understand what it takes and what you invest into it and what you invest into your friends and whoever it is that's running. And Alan, exactly what you said, it's magic. It's unreal. And so we definitely try to celebrate that as much as we possibly can.
And that's something we're committed to as a group is highlighting the unsung hero that is the crew and the Pacers, which I know you asked a specific question, Michelle.
Did I? So, I don't know.
You did ask a specific question. So I'm going to bring it back because we got a little off topic there for a second. And the question, if you don't remember, was how'd you get to like where you are now in the running career sector? So sorry, Cody, I'm going to take it here because I'm bringing it back. But in terms of my transition into the ultra world, I'd been in during sports swimming, bike racing, triathlon, dabbled in ultras very briefly back in like 2011 and had about a 10-year hiatus. But what got me back interested from the sub ultra world into the ultra world was my buddy Donnie, who's also Team Speedland with Cody and lives down the street with him. He's a great ultra runner, has I think six, seven, I don't remember. He has quite a few Leadville finishes. I think he's going for his third or fourth Hard Rock finish this year. Anyways, he had asked me to pace him the last 13 miles at Leadville in 21. And I hadn't been to 100 mile. I'd been around ultras like 50K, 50 mile, but I hadn't been to 100 miler. And so my introduction at Leadville, like hanging out at Twin with his wife and his other pacers and his crew, was phenomenal. And then he comes through and I'm like, how's this guy going to make another like 40 miles? He looks like death. And then we go to the next aid station. I'm like, shit, he doesn't look any better. He's just in the porta potty for 10 minutes. Like he's got to keep going. And then he gets me at 13. Doesn't really look much better, but we got to a big buckle finish for him. And then I couldn't stop thinking about 100 miles. And I texted Cody probably every day, like asking about 100 miler and this longer ultra experience. And yeah, since then, it's something I haven't been able to stop thinking about. And it's been, I guess, magic and misery has turned into an addiction, you can say. And the folks that are listen to like Borderlands or Justin's podcast. I'm sorry.
Golden Hour
podcast. I'm sorry. It was escaping me while I was talking, but I remember Justin. He has a nice mustache. Mm-hmm. Been fighting an injury for 4 months and having to withdraw from races. Like you said, with the shop, it's disappointing. And it's something that has been harder between the ears than on the body itself. But that said, we might come back stronger on Rabbit. If that doesn't work out, we might go to the Gila 100 down in New Mexico. Looks cool. Brand new race, first year, inaugural year. So it seems like a good time to go.
That would be super rad.
Yeah, it's outside of Silver City. There was a gal I knew that was living in Boulder that promotes that area of New Mexico quite a bit. And I remember her talking about it probably like a decade, 12 years ago. And I was like, it'd be fun to go hang out down there. And then I saw a race was there in October. And I was like, well, if nothing works out, why not go explore somewhere new?
Like, yeah. Or October, go somewhere. Maybe Michelle needs a pacer.
Ooh, I'd be into it. Ooh, I'm into it. I'm a good pacer. I have a lot of trail jokes.
I will say Taylor and Alan are both phenomenal pacers, Michelle. I would like to think that I am, but those
are good. You're a good pacer.
I appreciate it. You two are killer. So if you need anybody, I know you've got a very tight knit crew, but if you ever need anybody out this direction, we're all on board.
Okay. So. Yeah. I'll for sure keep that in mind. I might take you up on that.
Yeah.
There we go.
Throw one last shout out to Donnie Taylor. You bringing him up. That guy. So Donald Buki is Team Speedland, like you said, and he and I had text and I've been part of a text thanks to Taylor being buddies with him. If I hadn't met him in person until I paced Taylor at Run Rabbit Run. And what mile did I help him at? What mile was that, Taylor? Like,
It was at a dry lake. It was like 45 somewhere in there.
Okay. So yeah, not
quite. It was early on. We hadn't gotten to town yet.
Oh man.
Because he came in as I was leaving.
Yeah.
I was like, give him everything.
Yeah. So we're standing there. He comes in and he's just throwing up. And I'm trying to get him anything that he can, see if he can keep anything down. And he's, oh, don't worry about me. This is normal. And in my mind, I'm like, this dude is, I was worried. And then I didn't see him. I went and I paced Taylor. And then the next morning we get to the finish and we watch Taylor finish. And no shit, like not even 10 minutes later, Donnie, and I'm, oh, go ahead. How
10 minutes is a little bit of a like fluff for the story.
All right. But, it was not more than 30.
It was around 30 plus or minus a few minutes.
Okay. But he comes racing down to the finish, looked like a fresh man. I couldn't believe it. I thought there was no way in hell. And I talked to him afterwards. He's like, I do this every race. I throw up. I can't keep it down. I just throw up and then I get through it. It's like, dang.
Oh, so
back to the story of the race a little bit. So there's two things from being friends with Donnie. We ran the first bit for a long time. His stomach went. I took off a little bit. And I made like a flippant comment. It was like, hey, if I'm through before you, you have access to any of my stuff. Like, just take it. So he came through, was it Summit Lake, which from there, I want to say it's 20 miles into the finish, 25 miles from Summit Lake. I can't remember specifically. I've done it in about 5 hours, the two times I've run Rabbit, but I don't remember the specific distance. And came through, I'm sure my drop bag, couldn't remember my bib number, somehow found it, like took a beer out of my drop bag, chugged it. It was the only calories he had gone to the finish. But the other super impressive thing, which Donnie, along with Cody and Alan, has been a big inspiration on the 100 miler thing, because he's had a lot of success, fought through a lot of adversity, these types of things, learned a lot of lessons from him. But there's a section from Summit Lake when you go through it on the inbound portion of the race, and it's super technical climb, ridden on a mountain bike. It's like full on downhill trail on a mountain bike. It's a great time. But 72 miles into a 100 miler up this technical trail, you're like, what are these guys thinking? Like, race director Donnie, it might be 5K, 2,000 feet of vert, plus or minus. I'm probably butchering it, but that's what my memory is telling me. And he put in 30 to 40 minutes on that one segment on me. And I was like, when I saw it after, I was like, Don Buki kills it. There's no other explanation.
It's wild. He did just run Boston.
He's going to run hard.
But there's so many people like that you're just like, how does this person just bust this stuff out when they're, you look like death, man. And they're just like, meh. I got this. Crazy.
Nope. I agree. I'll finish out your question on how we got into running, just since Alan and Taylor both went. And I think my story, my origin story is pretty much the same as Alan's, because that's how we got into ultra running. It was together. And the thing that interested me in wanting to do this and convincing Alan to do it with me was, back in the day, I worked at Pearl Izumi and I was in marketing and I ran the Pearl Izumi ultra team. And just being in and around that and seeing these athletes at races and what they went through. And again, their families there, their crews there, their pacers. And I just really fell in love with what ultra running was. Didn't know if it's anything that I would ever be able to do, but knew that I wanted to somehow. And that's what interested me. And then I convinced Alan to give it a go. So yeah, that's how I got into it.
So can you talk to us a little bit about how Death March Running Company came about through that, or how, talk a little bit more about what you guys do with this. What is it? What's going on?
Again, I think this is the Alan question.
I don't even know where to begin with that. A lot of trail hallucinations, and it comes from being out there on the trail and with our pacers, or like Cody and I usually are our own. Like, we'll run them together, so we're our own pacers and crew. And then, like, our wives will crew for us, and they do the hard part. They go aid station. And so we just always wanted to incorporate that whole aspect. And then it really came together at High Lonesome when Cody somehow got in on the first draw, and it scared the shit out of him. So Taylor and I went and crewed for him, and between Taylor and I hanging out at the aid stations, drinking beer, waiting for Cody, and then us each sharing time on the trail with him. It just kept feeding off of that. And then when like all the dust settled, and a couple days later, Taylor's, this needs to happen, and sooner rather than later. And so it wasn't just a hallucination on the trail in the depths of the night.
Yeah.
So we just started steamrolling from there.
Yeah, it's Alan's spot on there. It's we've had this a little kernel of an idea for years with just the random, you've been out on these long runs, the shit that you think about and that you talk about that you think you see that you don't see. And we've always just joked about things and talked about things and had this idea of what if it'd be cool to make some fun graphics or start this company. And we didn't know what it was at the time. We just were so in love with the sport and everything that it entailed. And we had talked about this for years, but yeah, to Alan exactly is right that at Hilo, it really matured and came together in just the miles of suffering together. I was suffering. These guys kept me lucid. They kept me like going, and we had some fun conversations about what it could actually be. And we were finally at the point of, all right, we have to make this happen. It would be a shame if we didn't. We were all 100% invested in it. We didn't know still exactly what it was. We had a pretty good idea and we had to flesh some stuff out. But
I would say at that point, we didn't even know a name or.
Yeah.
All we had was like a spreadsheet of.
We knew we wanted something.
Yeah, we wanted to know what it was. Yeah,
I'm not
exactly.
Even sure if we still know.
Yeah.
Yes. Who knows? But we have a spreadsheet of things we want to do. So let's go, boys.
Yeah. But yeah, and then it was after the race, we were talking about what the name should be, and Taylor threw it out and he's like, this has to be, you just death marched through this race. It can't be anything else. It has to be Death March. And just that was an absolute bullseye. I was like, yes, it does. This is perfect. And from there, we knew that we had some fun ideas around some irreverent things in ultra running and running in general that we can have some fun with, creating some cool graphics. And so we made some cool t-shirt graphics, and that's what we continue to do now. Though we wanted, obviously with partnering with you, we wanted to do things that, not just t-shirts that people wear to the bar, which is, yeah, I want you to do that. Or I run in all my tees to run in, but we want things that people will actually be able to use while racing as well. And we have a handful of those items. We have the neck gator. We've got some running hats.
Shout out the new hats dropping tomorrow. What, May 9th is tomorrow, I think. May 10th.
Should drop tomorrow, yeah.
On the website. Let's go.
Yeah, Taylor doesn't want me saying this, but I'm going to. We are working on some pretty sweet singlets.
I didn't say don't say it. It's in process. Let's go with process. That.
We're working on some samples right now, but yeah, we're having fun. We have been very fortunate with it being so young that we've been able to, we signed our first athlete, Mason Wright, Buff Runner. We just launched this week it's his Project 3434. We just launched a graphic for that project. And that's really a 2-year project that he's working on to lead up to Running Across America. And it's to raise money for the Single Parent Project, which is really cool. It's something that he loves. He grew up with a single parent, him and his sibling. And so just trying to raise money for that organization. And he's doing it through that Run Across America. We're doing a $10 of every shirt purchased is being donated in Mason's name. If you're on Instagram, look him up at Buff Runner. The dude is legit.
And he's very handsome. He's got
he's nice having eyes.
Everyone's pull him up on.
Much like Justin, he has a nice mustache, and up until Monday, I had one to join, but it was that time. Got to grow it back.
You know what? The name of your brand and the graphics, and I personally think it's killer. I love it so much. Every time you guys post something, I'm like, dude, I can't spend all my money on freaking t-shirts. And like, I want to. Your stuff is so cool. I've actually been saving my shirt. This is going to sound so stupid. So it's been cold out and I don't want to have to wear a sweatshirt over it because I want people to see my shirt. So I haven't worn it because I'm like, I'm saving it for when I can wear it out and people can see my t-shirt. But yeah, I think your stuff's so great.
Can you remind us what cold is in San Diego?
60.
Oh, I love this. So,
okay. That was gonna be your answer. So
so we live in San Diego. We are spoiled and we love complaining about our weather. Okay. And for the past few months for San Diego, It has been unusually gloomy and rainy and quote unquote cold. Like right now in San Diego, it should be like 75. And you wake up and it's still like 50. And so we're like, where's San Diego? We pay freaking a lot of money to live here, man. Like, where's my sunshine? Yes, I'm complaining about our 60 degree weather, and I do put my seat warmer on in 60 degree weather. So
Alan's laughing because he's probably on a roof this morning, like framing a house or something. And he's shit in South Dakota. It's 18 degrees this morning.
It's
been warmer than
still
that.
Cold? Been warmer. That cold? It's May.
It's been a little bit warmer, but with the wind and rain,
it's been super windy here too.
It's been
super windy.
I don't know how it's been up with Alan, but here it's like patio furniture. It's been
bad.
It's in the neighbor's yard, and I finally had.
That's so strange that in different states it'd be so windy.
It's all like in the same corridor, maybe. I don't know. It's all going west to east. Who knows? But yeah, I was laughing because I knew the answer. I baited you on that one.
I almost wanted to lie and be like, it's 30 right now. But I'm like, dude, no, it's a cold 60 right now. It's a cold 60.
The gloomy.
Gloomy 60.
I will say last time I was in San Diego, it rained sideways for 3 days straight. And I went on a trail run somewhere. And it was like deep mud and trail close sign, so then turned into a road run, and I didn't want to disrespect the trail.
But it probably wasn't visiting. May. It probably wasn't May.
I honestly can't remember the time of the year, but I was also the same reaction you just said, where it's we pay a lot of money to live here. The weather should be good. And I was like, I booked it solely to leave Colorado to go to nice weather, and it was just horrendous.
So my shop is super close to the airport, and so we get a lot of people that are traveling coming through. They come in to the coffee shop, they come by the store. And I had stocked up on these jackets I got from this woman-owned brand called Wandery, and I'm selling out these jackets to people that are visiting because they brought tube tops or something. And they're like, we had no idea that it was going to actually be cold in San Diego. So I like sold out of jackets, which is really funny. But so, yeah. So other people think it's cold too, Taylor.
Well, fair enough.
Hey, I've got to ask you. So you bring up your shop. Correct me if I'm wrong. Switchback Collective?
Yes. So I added just the collective name to separate it a little bit from the actual brand. Oh, okay. Because I am selling other things than just Switchback neck gaiters.
So how did this come to fruition? What is
So obviously started Switchback the brand, and I went out to Austin last year to the running event. I don't know if you're familiar.
Wait, I want to pipe in as small business owner.
Yeah.
Should DMRC go to the running event? Because Cody and I briefly there was a passing moment where I was like, now that we have a running company,
let me tell you a little bit about it. Maybe you can make a decision from that. So I went with that mindset, right? Didn't set up at Expo because I won't say on here how much it is, but it's a lot of money. Okay. So I signed up to go just as a brand owner, right? Because you have to be something. You have to go. People can't just randomly go to the running event. And for people that don't know, it is called the running event because I have so many people go, but what's it called? And I'm like, the running event. So I went with the mindset of I'm going to go see what it takes. What would I need to set up? Is it worth setting up as a small business? All those things that you're asking me, right? And so I walk in and the first thing I see is this massive two-story Brooks setup, right? That has a staircase they put in. Like, how many hundreds of thousands of dollars did they spend on this Brooks thing? And I walk in and see that and I go, well, there's no freaking, I can't set up here. There's no way. But then I start walking around and you start seeing some of the smaller businesses, which I actually now carry in my shop. And I'll go into that a little bit more. And yes, there are some small businesses that legit just have a table out with their logo and some of their stuff and nothing fancy and nothing crazy. And so I went up to those people to ask them, hey, how many times have you done this? Is it worth it? And most of them said yes. They had small businesses like mine. They did gain. It's a great way to network. And they did have people come out of it that then wanted to carry their product in store. And so my takeaway was, also depends on what do you want out of it? What's your expected outcome from this? Is it to network? Are you looking to find stores that want to sell your brand? Because a lot of the people that are walking around are from all over the US, all the running stores. Those are the people walking around, looking at all the brands, looking at the new stuff, seeing what they want to carry. So that's a lot of the people you will see there. I thought it was an awesome experience. I had so much fun. I went out there completely by myself and just went to every single thing they had. Cause I'm like, I paid to come here. I'm going to they had 5K runs in the morning. They had all these things going on. And
is it still in Austin? Is it always in Austin?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's in Austin.
Didn't they have a run on the racetrack? Like the NASCAR F1 racetrack?
I don't know. They had a run.
I thought I saw that on Instagram.
They had a run where like they had set up some like Christmas lights. I don't know if that was on the track. They had another run that was like on base there, which I don't know how they got permission to do that, but that was interesting. But yeah, I thought it was super cool. There was like some people I saw, like there, you'll see, I geeked out seeing like some athletes that were out there. It's a fun time. And back to your question about the shop. So went to Austin and met some other women-owned businesses, smaller businesses, and they're obviously just not really at the forefront so much is a lot of these huge brands, and there aren't a lot of huge brands owned by women. Now, Rabbit's woman-owned, and they're starting to get pretty big, right? Rabbit, Runner that makes the hats, and they're becoming pretty well-known. Started milling over like, how can I get my brand out there? How can someone highlight these other really cool women-owned brands? And I have this vision board here in my office, and I just wrote down on the vision board, the vision was to open a store. Now this was this was me thinking years possibly, right? This was nothing immediate that I had planned, but I started reaching out to some of these women business owners and saying, hey, this is an idea. It's nothing happening right now, but what's the deal? How would I get you in store? And just having those conversations. And while those conversations were happening, this spot opened up that just happened to be an ideal situation, which I won't get into that whole aspect, but as a small business, it was a great situation. And I didn't know if this would be an opportunity I would have ever again. So I immediately reached back out to these brands and I was like, it's happening. And they're like, wait a minute. I thought you said a year or two from now. Didn't we just talk a month ago? And yeah, so now I carry solely woman-owned brands at the shop. Now, obviously this limits. So it's the shop is running and like outdoor. Okay. Focused, right? So I have everything from Rabbit and Runner apparel to hoodies to hike. And there's this woman that carries a line of soaps called Adventurous Soaps. And all of her soaps have different peaks on them, but things that keep within the trail hiking running theme. There's some socks I carry by a woman that her brand's called Tough Cutie, and her brand is like hiking, really high quality hiking socks. So that's how that happened and like what it is and where I'm at.
So how long have you been open?
About 6 weeks.
Nice. And
6 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You're grinding.
Good on it. Right. Good on you. Yeah. That's awesome.
It's great. I work all the time and I'm broke. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, get a six pack and buy some shit.
For those of you that don't know, I run the shop and I do coffee shop hours. So I don't do retail hours because I'm within a coffee shop. So it makes sense to open early.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to miss all the people coming in early for coffee. I open the store. I'm at the store early till 5 p.m. And then I come home and I hand cut and hand sew custom gaiters for all my custom orders. I also still have my regular 9-to-5 job that I do online, which
Definitely ultra runner of the year right here.
Yeah, no joke.
The fact that you have time to train and pace and
holy shit. I don't have time to train right now, which is why I dropped out of a bunch of races. But
you have to train to pace. So
I at least have my group run on Wednesdays. I'm getting 4 miles in a week.
Hey, shout out the new Switchback group run Wednesdays, 6 a.m. at the shop.
6 a.m. Yeah. Yes.
Six fifteen. Hey, when you get back, there's a coffee shop there. You can get your coffee to go to the office.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome though. So 6 weeks in, what's been your favorite part and what's been the hardest part?
I think my favorite part is the store is literally like me in a store, right? Because I am hand picking everything that I want to be in it. And so I love everything that's in it. And I have a story behind every single brand that I'm carrying, because there is really a story behind every single brand I'm carrying for every woman that's behind these brands. And so when people come in and ask me about it, I feel like they don't feel like they're just walking into an REI and they're just like selling you something. Like, I'm super excited to talk about what I have in the shop. I have a wall that I call like my wall of running fame. And it's a bunch of pictures that I made, this huge collage of runs and races and events from our running community. And there's a ton of people on these walls and pictures of them in races and stuff. And people come in and they're like, oh, cool. They try to find themselves, or I don't know. It's just, I love the space because I've curated to something that I love. The hardest part about it really has been not being as active as I am used to, because that is my mental sanity. Right. Yeah. And I think a lot of us can agree that part of the reason we got into ultra running is we might be replacing something that maybe was something tough in our lives, like something we've overcome. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's something we're running away from, and that has replaced that. And then when it's taken away again, you might really struggle. Right. And so I'm struggling a little bit with not being able to get those longer miles in, because you do 4 miles and you're like, that doesn't count.
I'd kill for 4 right now. So
yeah.
I can empathize with that statement a lot.
Yeah. Being injured, it's tough when you have those moments of just not being able to do what you love. And I know I'll get to a better spot. Like, I've been in circumstances where I've not been able to run as well, injury and other things. But right now I just can't really see that light at the end of the tunnel quite yet, but I'm still doing something that I love. I'll get there.
I was going to say, it sounds, which you might've been getting to, Cody, but it sounds like where I'm feeling, where it feels so accessible, but yet so far away. But also having the shop, and for us having DMRC, and sorry if you can hear my crazy cat in the background. He is going, he's an asshole. I don't know. Sorry. But yeah, it feels so close and so accessible. Like, for you, you have the shop. Obviously, there's personal, emotional, financial, everything investment into it. In my case, injury, but we're close. We're associated. We're in the community still. Like, all of our friends are getting into race season. And this isn't like a woe is me rant, because it isn't, but it should be relatable for a lot of folks in our world, where you have to even get to the starting line of 50. Let's even go further than that. Start at the half marathon, 50K, 50 miler, 100 miler, like to put in the time to get there, and the expectation and the wanting to feel seen in the community, experience suffering with somebody else that was going through the same thing, like the empathy there. So the feeling so close to it, but not being able to like be fully present in it. And I know we talked about the pace or the crew. That is as fully present as you can be without going through it yourself. But just watching it from the sideline, like on the highlight reel, the Instagram, like you said, it's been for lack of a better description, a fucking bummer. But it's also, we're still there. Text my friend that was injured during Run Rabbit last year, and he's just now getting back to running. And it's nice to see him getting back and giving the the hope. But yeah, it's absolute bummer when you want to be there and can't be there for whatever reason it is.
Yeah. And you alluded to exactly where I was going to go with that, Taylor, is that in what I see you doing, Michelle, and what I know Taylor, Alan, and I are doing is outside of doing the running ourselves, it's helping foster that community, right? And being a part of that. And it definitely shows that you're doing that, which is really cool. And that bridging that, yeah, it's not the same as being able to get out there and grind and run yourself, but it still just can be just as powerful. So it's really cool to see you building and fostering that run community there. So that's awesome.
I don't know if anyone else would be, if people would be interested in hearing us talk more than an hour.
Just go for it. We can talk to midnight. If they're interested, we can just put bookmarks and say, if you want to hear about this, go here.
We were saying before you guys hopped on with Cody, like that we're going to talk for 4 hours and then Jeff was just going to cut out.
Like a 10 minute interview.
And we're going to be like, wait a minute. That was way longer than 10 minutes.
It's been fun, Michelle. So as long as you want to talk, I think we're into it.
Absolutely.
You said you didn't have much on calendar, trying to make Javelina happen. And obviously you have the run club on Wednesdays, but what's on the Switchback calendar? Like obviously being at ERS races.
Yeah, even that, I still need to find probably like a volunteer or something because it's hard to close the shop on a Saturday when that's when we're our busiest to be at a race. But I was talking with someone about this the other day where they were like, you have to weigh out like what, of course, it's important to be at the shop and make sales, but I also have to follow my heart sometimes. And the biggest thing to me and the reason, the way like Switchback evolved and how it's grown is because of my community. And the thing I love the most before opening the store was being at these races set up like that to me was what it was about. And yeah, I definitely need to figure out how to make that work. Other than that, just continuing to do what we do with the Gators and be at some of the races. As far as racing, honestly, I'm to the point where I'm like, do I just need to like train to bust out just like a really solid half marathon? You know what I mean? Maybe that's where I'm at right now.
Hey, I've made this statement and I stand by it, but those road races, and usually it's in the context of a marathon versus an ultra. Like I'm convinced that a marathon is harder than an ultra, just from a pure physiological standpoint. But last year, Run Rabbit included, injury included, like the worst recovery I had was falling a half marathon. So we can't discount it. It was Aspen Valley half marathon beat the hell out of me. So if you're in the Roaring Forks Valley and want to go to Aspen, it's a good race, July. So the point being is if that's what happens, like you might have 10 to 15 day recovery.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at. And I'm just, it's going back to the pavement pounding and your body and like just moving faster turnover and stuff. And it's, again, whatever, sometimes I feel like we have to remind ourselves that we are privileged to do what we do, regardless of how many miles it is. Right? To be able to go out and run 3 miles or 4 miles. We're privileged in so many ways from the aspect of some countries, you can't even go out and do that. Or in the aspect of there are some people that physically can't even run. Just so many aspects that we are just so privileged to be able to do what we do that I'm like, I can't lose sight of that as well. And just feel lucky that if I do have time to go out and train well for a half, then that's awesome as well.
Yep. Agreed.
Well, since this is now a DMRC hosted podcast, a couple more questions for you, Michelle. So there's two things over your right shoulder that we've been staring at for an hour now that I have questions about. What's the dummies book?
Okay.
Something for Dummies is like textbook yellow and black.
Podcasting for Dummies.
Which I didn't ask if it was. Yes.
I haven't even opened it yet, you guys.
Well, and then second,
you don't need it now.
Yeah, you're spot on. You're fine. What's and then what's the metal over the right shoulder? Because we've been looking at it for an hour. Curious.
Oh, that's an endurance race series. That's the last race I ran. He has a 20 miler that he does in February. It's called the wine. It's San Pasqual, and you get wine after. I know there's something wine involved.
It's the goddamn Catalina wine mixer.
Hey, they're not that far from Catalina. So maybe we do a Switchback Death March content house in Avalon for the Catalina 50 miler in January.
That could be interesting.
Michelle, you'll love this. You guys will all love this. I literally text Jeff this morning saying, hey, Mountain Ridge is one of his races here.
Yeah.
On June 1st, the 21 miler starts at 6:30. I've got two questions for you. Can I start it early? And two, can
finish early?
No. And two, can I push my 1.5-year-old in a stroller in it? And Jeff's the best guy. Hey, don't reach out to him asking to start races early. That is not okay. But I did.
Does it because they're longtime friends.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff. You let us all start early.
They don't do that at all. But he is gracious enough to let me. And I'm so thankful and pumped.
Jeff's awesome.
He is. Yeah. He is awesome.
Yeah. I think my husband's waiting to have dinner.
Oh, you're booting us. She's booting us, guys. All right.
In true runner fashion, got a fuel for the morning run.
I love it.
In your case, a morning shop open.
Yeah.
No, that's fair. That's fair. Michelle, this has been awesome. I think I can speak for the three of us. Love talking to you.
This is great.
Yeah. Your personality is fantastic. It's your happiness. You can just see it. It's very infectious. I love it. I feel like you're like almost my soulmate. Like we're the same person.
We're wearing the same shirt.
We are. Look at this. Yes. But no, thanks for having us. This was a lot of fun.
This is great.
And Michelle, I have one closing remark and I got to put Alan on blast.
Yeah.
Still need a goal in the hockey game, buddy. We're now on podcast number 3 and
I don't know.
We haven't reported a goal scored yet.
Got a game tomorrow. So
Michelle's going to hop back on with us in 2 days for just a quick 5-minute recap of the hockey game.
On the hockey game.
Like a stride by stride recap of the goal that is owed to Taylor.
It's like slow motion. Just pretend like it's sped up when I tell the story. Yeah. So it'll be in very slow mo.
Good luck with the hockey game.
Gotta love it.
Thank you for having us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Thanks for doing this, guys. This is awesome.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
We'd love to do it again. So
sweet. Yeah.
Maybe we'll just
tell Jeff this is just now a Death March Switchback podcast.
We'll start lining up guests.
Yeah.
I think it worked actually very well. So it'd be legitimate.
Yeah, this was great. Super awesome. And let's try and get you guys out here.
Absolutely.